You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Go with the flow. The amazing interlocking reciprocal flow drills of the Filipino martial arts. Of all of the attributes emphasized when training in the Filipino martial arts, perhaps the most emphasized is fluidity of motion, or, to make a noun out of a verb, flow. The ability to flow smoothly into the next movement and to react to the opponent while still flowing smoothly is obviously a worthy goal in any martial art. What many of the various martial arts systems of the Philippines have in common are entire systems of elegantly designed, modular, cyclical, and interlocking flow drills. The first element vital to this concept is that of line familiarization, through the designation of numbered angles of attack. Attacks can be divided into linear attacks, like stabbing and thrusting, and non-linear attacks like cutting, hacking, and their equivalents with blunt striking weapons like sticks and staffs. When you see a linear attack coming, at least towards your head, you essentially see a continually enlarging point coming towards you. When you see a non-linear attack coming, you see what amounts to a line segment as the length of the weapon approaches, which it will do on an angle. One way of describing this would be to imagine that the opponent is standing silhouetted in front of a giant clock face. With that in mind, you might, for example, say that the attack is coming at between 1 and 2 o'clock, or 1:30, if you will. This particular angle of attack is very common for a right-hander, whether trained or untrained, to throw. So common, as a matter of fact, that in most systems, it is designated angle number 1. Every system has its own particular set of numbers to identify angles of attack. If a right-handed attacker follows through on the angle 1 attack, he will find his weapon on his left side. He is now loaded or prepared to throw a backhand strike. Let's say he makes that cut or strike at about 10:30 on the clock face, describing an angle we will call number 2, as it is in the Inosanto system. As I said, every system has its own numbering scheme, usually delineating as many as 12 different angles, including both cutting and thrusting motions. The beauty of using simple numbers to identify angles of attack is that they translate across many ways of conceptualizing combat. In a way, it's like using a programming language for computers. A number 1 attack is a number 1 attack, whether it's done with a stick, a sword, a staff, a spear, a knife, a fist, a leg, a tire iron, a length of chain, or a styrofoam swimming pool noodle. This system of line familiarization covers a lot of conceptual ground. It's usually not necessary to learn separate defenses, especially separate evasive motions for each different weapon. Just learn them for the different angles. Of course, you need to take into account other variables, like the length of the incoming weapon compared to the length of yours, the distance between you and the opponent when the attack was thrown, and environmental constraints like the terrain and objects that give either cover or obstruction. In any case, you will learn at least 2 or 3 defenses for each angle. How you incorporate repetition of these defenses into your training schedule is where it gets interesting. Of course, one method that is tried and true in many martial arts systems is one where a feeder feeds the attacks to the student, who practices his or her defenses and counters. In many FMA systems, this is done by the numbers, with the feeder feeding first a number 1 angle, then waiting for the student to defend and counter before then feeding a number 2, and so on. This method challenges the student more and differently than simply and repeatedly responding to the same attack, and is called different names in different systems. In the Inosanto system, it is called abecedario training. Those of you who speak Spanish will recognize the word abecedario as the Spanish word for alphabet, which makes sense. Your alphabet is basic training for learning to spell. Even cooler, and the real focus of today's podcast, are the interlocking reciprocal drills sometimes called sombradas. whereas the abecedario drills I described earlier are not unlike batting practice in baseball, sombrada is like playing catch. When playing catch, the roles reverse frequently and consistently. First, you are the thrower, then you are the catcher. You sick bastards out there, feel free to insert jokes right here. Are you done? Okay, anyway, this same form of role reversal is true in sombrada training. In a typical sombrada drill, I feed you an attack, which you defend, and then your follow-up attack at me serves as your feed for me to defend, and the drill continues. This can be done in freestyle fashion, with each partner using whatever defense they wish and feeding whatever follow-up attack they wish. And that, of course, is eventually what you strive for. But in the early stages of training, you must memorize set patterns for sombrada drills in order to give you a complete conceptual grasp of the defensive system. Now, this may sound like a simple two-man set, something that is common in many different martial arts. But the difference is that most two-man sets are structured to have a beginning and an end. In a very real sense, there is no beginning or end to a sombrada drill. Most students, especially beginners, learn them faster if you designate a starting point. But the reality is that a sombrada is like a looping subroutine in a computer program, or like singing "Row, row, row your boat" in the round. It keeps cycling for as long as you need it to, or as long as you like. This is a tremendous time saver, eliminating the need for resetting when doing sets that have a beginning and an end. The result is a mentally engaging way to do lots of fluid, dynamic repetitions in a fairly short amount of time. I use and teach a large number of sombradas from a number of different systems, as well as a few that I wrote myself. I've also adapted the concept for my non-weaponry classes, like kickboxing and grappling. A skilled practitioner can flow from one sombrada to another without breaking the all-important flow. This is because he or she learns to recognize common reference points that act like forks in the road, allowing the student to branch off into another sombrada without breaking the flow. If your training partner knows the sombrada to which you have switched and picks up on the fact that you just switched, he or she will react by smoothly blending into the new sombrada, thus maintaining the all-important flow. This ease and seamlessness of transition from one drill to another suggests a good training progression for the sombrada concept. It would consist of first, learning all of the techniques, both defensive and offensive. Second, learning all the sombradas. Third, learning to flow seamlessly from one sombrada to another and back again. And fourth, occasional forays from structured sombradas into freestyle training, where there is no memorized structure. Such a system makes for a huge amount of structural flexibility. There are sombradas designed specifically for sword or stick-length weapons, others for knives and daggers, others for staff and spear-length weapons, and others for empty hand training, both striking and grappling. Most stick sombradas can also be done with only small adjustments with double sticks, or even with stick and dagger. Most sombradas are designed for right-hander versus right-hander, and those can obviously be reversed for lefty versus lefty, but they do exist for unmatched handedness as well. For all of these reasons, a training scenario like the following becomes possible. Two training partners armed with sticks in their right hands and daggers in their left hands flow through several cycles of different sombradas before one or the other disarms his partner, taking away his stick. This is where that all-important concept of flow comes in. Without missing a beat, they continue to flow through sombradas, one man using stick and dagger, and the other using only single stick. The second partner finally returns the favor, also stripping away his opponent's stick. This leaves them each with single daggers in their left hand. Again, without breaking a beat, they flow into left-handed dagger versus left-handed dagger sombradas. At one point, one of them switches his dagger to his right hand, in flow, and the flow continues, right versus left, dagger sombrada. After a bit, the other man switches to his right hand, in flow, and the sombradas continue with right-handed dagger versus right-handed dagger. Now, one man disarms the other man's dagger before feeding an attack. Again, without missing a beat, they flow into single dagger versus empty hand sombradas. The empty hand man takes the dagger away from the other man, and the empty hand versus dagger sombrata continues, with the roles reversed. Again, maintaining the flow. One final disarm leaves them both empty-handed, and the sombrata flow continues. I hope you begin to get the picture of how flexible this training system is. Depending on how well-conceived and written are the sombratas in your system, you can do any of the following while maintaining the flow. Vary the feed. Vary the response. Change the range. Flow from drill to drill within a given range. Disarm your partner, either keeping or abandoning his weapon. Flow from weapon to weapon. Change weapon hands. Flow from weapon to empty hand, and vice versa. And finally, flow from striking to grappling, and vice versa. While the purpose of today's podcast is to highlight the elegant effectiveness of these drills for developing fluidity of motion and flexibility of response, it's important to remember that they are a means to an end, and not an end in themselves. Unfortunately, there are FMA practitioners who are so taken with the elegance and flow of sombrata drills that they spend far too large a fraction of their training time on them and neglect other important areas of training. They have unwittingly devoted themselves to being the best sombrata players they can be, rather than the best martial artists that they can be. But if sombrata training is done in proportion, the drills are a very useful and enjoyable part of your Filipino martial arts training. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or listen to old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.